You're listening to the Whole Hog Football Podcast, sponsored by Landers Toyota of Northwest Arkansas. Every Monday through Friday during the Razorbacks football training camp, bringing you the latest news, position analysis, and more. Here's your hosts, Matt Jones and Scotty Bordelon.
Razorbacks football preseason marches on. It's almost over. The Hogs have just a few more practices left as part of their preseason. They'll begin their Cincinnati prep on Thursday. They'll have a mock game on Saturday inside Razorback Stadium, and we're just a little over a week away from the season opening with their September 3rd game against Cincinnati in Fayetteville. Matt Jones with Scotty Bordelon and Andrew Joseph of WholeHogSports.com. And Scotty, you were out at practice yesterday. What did you see?
Saw a lot more guys on the field than we did the last two full weeks, and some change with the fall semester starting. You know, Arkansas's roster expanded, and you saw guys like Cade Renfro back. You know, he was coming back from a torn ACL, I believe it was last fall camp, and you know, Dominic Johnson was back. Chase Lowry, a guy that signed with Arkansas as a defensive back, I think in the last couple of years, he was back with the team. Sam Pittman said that was going to be the case once classes started, and it was kind of interesting. You know, when Chase Lowry got here, thought he might, you know, contend for some playing time a little bit maybe last year, but he showed up yesterday wearing number 87 and playing receiver. So that was one of the more noteworthy things that happened. Sam Pittman said on Saturday that Ricky Stromberg hyperextended his elbow. He was full go. Like, he went through the fastball starts and everything like that. He just had a wrap on that elbow, just as protection for that. Didn't see Devin Manuel, who's kind of, I think the official diagnosis is he's banged up, and Josh Street wasn't present either. He's got an ankle, like you mentioned yesterday, Matt. I just, as another, like a side note, I just think Warren Thompson's looking really good. And I wrote that I think that was my last bullet point in my observations. He's just moving with really, really good confidence. He's going up and high pointing balls, catching them with really sure hands. I think that was kind of the question mark about Warren last year. I think he led the team with 5 drops. And those drops cost Arkansas over 100 yards. I think it was 112, according to SEC StatCat, which is a pretty cool website if you get a chance to check that out. Just dedicated to SEC football analytics, which is kind of right up my alley. I just think Warren's he's in for a big season. He's been a name that has been mentioned after both scrimmages for making big plays, and he's been pretty impressive in one-on-one. So I think he can have a pretty big year. But I think the most newsy thing that happened was Dominic Johnson was back doing some individual drills with running backs, and he looked pretty good. He's a big body. I think in the time that, you know, we haven't seen him since he got injured in the Outback Bowl until now, I think I forgot how big of a body he actually is. But he is 19 pounds heavier, according to the roster, than he was either at the end of last season or at the end of spring. So he's at 247 right now. I think Jimmy Smith wants him to get in like that 235, 240 range. So dropping a little bit of weight once you're actually on the practice field moving around shouldn't be too big of a deal. But what I saw yesterday in terms of his movement was, you know, much more fluid and smooth than I anticipated.
I find it interesting that he's listed at 247. And then after all that time off, I kind of wonder if that's a good weight or bad weight that he's put on, just because, I mean, he's already a bigger back, and to be putting on an additional 20 pounds seems like a lot.
I think it's just hard, you know, when you've got an injury like to your knee or your leg or something, like you can't like just get up and just, you know, do cardio all the time. And I would imagine, you know, I mean, he's an athlete. He probably likes to eat. So he probably added a little bit more weight than he wanted to. And I think that's why Jimmy Smith said that he wanted him to trim up a little bit to get to an optimal weight for him to play at. I don't think it's going to be an issue, like I said, for him to drop some weight. That's, you know, that's something that Sam has said with guys that, you know, like with KJ last year, you know, he came in, looked a little bit overweight, probably was a little bit overweight, but, you know, you get out in the heat and move around. I think it's pretty easy to cut out a few pounds and get to where you want to be.
Well, you know, in Johnson's role, I think, within this offense, not to say that he's a one-trick pony, but it's to be that big back, the guy that can get you 2 or 3 yards on third and two or get you over the goal line in a goal-to-go situation. You know, they've got the big hitters in the Rocket Sanders and the AJ Greens, and we'll see, you know, what ends up happening with Rashad DeBinion. I know that they're excited about his prospects, but you know, for Johnson, you've got to be a bigger back in order to play in that role that I think they foresee him being in.
Yeah, it just makes him a little bit more unique. Like, obviously, we saw him last year. He had like his yards per carry average at a certain point in the season when he was, you know, getting a few more touches than maybe early on. Like, it was really impressive. So he's got like that big playability. But like you mentioned, Matt, like he's a guy that you feel super comfortable with. Like maybe third and two, third and three, you just, you know, run him. You run him behind a guard, and you're pretty confident that he can, you know, maybe barrel through some of that contact and fall forward and pick up the yardage you need. But yeah, he's I think that size definitely makes him a unique back, and he is a bear to tackle, man. I think everybody in the league learned that last year. I'm curious to see, you know, I was pretty impressed with the way he was moving yesterday, and that was just the first day he was back in Indy. So I think his rehab has gone pretty smooth. It looks that way anyway, but I'm wondering, you know, when he gets into his first game action, like how confident he's going to be in that knee. Cause you know, if you're not confident, you know, that can, you know, if you're not maybe the fleetest of foot, that could definitely slow you down, just kind of in the same way that AJ Green played last season, just because he was a little bit behind in terms of, you know, picking up the offense and just being able to play 100%. But I think Dominique he's a confident enough guy. He's proven he knows he can go play. I think he'll be all right.
When Sam Pittman was talking about Dominic Johnson on Saturday after the second scrimmage, there was almost, it sounded like a little bit of hesitation in his voice. Like he wasn't quite sure what to expect when Johnson went out on the field Monday. But, you know, based on what I've read and you know, what I've heard from you all, it almost sounds like maybe it went better than maybe we were expecting. I mean, do you think that's a fair assessment?
Yeah, I definitely think so. And it wasn't just like he was in those running back position drills, standing behind a running back or standing behind a quarterback, taking a handoff and just running straight. Like they had him basically doing everything that he would do in a game. Like I remember there's one play that they called out, and the running back is responsible for getting on the correct side of the quarterback and then running maybe 6 or 8 yards. Like he's going to go line up in the slot and then, you know, jogging back in front of the quarterback where he'll take a handoff that way. And I didn't see like any hesitation or timidness from him, you know, making those cuts. And then, you know, once he was trying to turn to get upfield, looked pretty good to me. Like I said, a lot better than I expected. I just think they're not going to rush it, I don't think, at all, just because they're super confident in Rocket. And I think it's a huge, huge deal. Like I've said probably a million times on this podcast that AJ Green's had a full camp.
I agree with you that they're going to kind of slow play his return because they have so much confidence in Rocket. But I think when Dominique gets back to 100%, it'll be interesting to see how the carries are distributed, because I know that Sam's talked about how he doesn't really believe that there's a teams use feature backs anymore. But if there ever was going to be a feature back, I mean, Rocket is kind of that ideal guy with his build. He can play all three downs, can catch, can pass protect. And so, I mean, I just don't see him really sitting on the sidelines too often, even when Dominique is maybe back to full strength.
And Pittman has said previously that don't expect Johnson to play in either of the first two games against Cincinnati or South Carolina. They haven't given a timeline for his return. We don't know if it's week 3, it may be week 5, maybe week 6, who knows? But he has said in the past that he expects Johnson will play a majority of this season for the Razorbacks.
I think that week 3 game against Missouri State might be a decent target for him. Because, I mean, you think you can get through the first 2 weeks with Rocket and AJ, or, you know, just a combination in the running game of KJ, Rocket, and AJ. I think if Arkansas, you know, gets through those first 2 weeks okay, and, you know, they handle their business against Missouri State, I wouldn't be shocked to see him, you know, maybe get some carries late just to get his feet back underneath him Because I mean, it's a thing to look okay in practice. It's another thing to look to get back accustomed to running the ball against guys that they want to tear your head off. It's a completely different deal.
The Whole Hog Football Podcast is sponsored by Landers Toyota of Northwest Arkansas, where you always get the best service and the best buying experience in the state.
For all your automotive needs, shop Landers Toyota NWA in Rogers, where we guarantee you the best buying experience and best service after the sale in Arkansas. Landers Toyota NWA in Rogers.
WholeHogSports.com has the largest, most experienced staff of reporters covering sports in Arkansas. Football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. You'll find it at WholeHogSports.com. The website includes up-to-minute news, daily commentaries, and award-winning photography from the staffs of Hogs Illustrated and the Democrat Gazette. For subscriptions, call 1-800-757-6277. That's 1-800-757-6277. Or visit us online today. WholeHogSports.com.
Want more coverage of your home team? Download the Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Check out the Fan Zone and get up-to-the-minute videos, podcasts, and features on football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. Search for Whole Hog Sports on Apple TV, Roku, and Amazon Fire at home. And take it with you on the go by downloading it for your mobile device in your app store. The Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Get it today.
Welcome back to the Whole Hog Football Podcast.
If you're in Fayetteville, come join us on Wednesday as Sam Pittman will speak at the Hogs Illustrated Sports Club. We'll meet at the Hilton Garden Inn off of Weddington Drive in Fayetteville. Doors will open at 11:45. The program will begin at noon, and we'll have you out of there by 1 o'clock. If you want more information on the luncheon, visit nwadealpiggy.com. That's nwadealpiggy.com, one of our sister websites. You can find information about the luncheon with Sam Pittman on Wednesday, also about the luncheon with Hunter Yurecek on September 7th at the Hilton Garden Inn. All right, today we're going to talk about the buzziest players the Razorbacks have had in camp. And we better preface this with a little bit of, kind of what our thinking is here. It's not so much the players who we know about, you know, so we're not going to talk about KJ Jefferson. We're not going to talk about Jalen Catalan. We're not going to talk about Bumper Pool or Ricky Stromberg, these players who you know what you're getting with them. These are more so they're either newcomers or they are players who might be in a new position or, whatever the case may be, they might be a transfer. And these are the guys who we just have heard a lot about this preseason. And if you've listened to this podcast throughout the preseason, you might be hearing some things that you've heard before, but these are just some of the guys that you keep hearing their names, and it makes you wonder, you know, what their roles are going to be when the season comes along, and it makes you think that they're going to be big-time contributors to the team. So, Scotty, let's start with you. Who stands out to you as the buzziest player of camp?
Oh, I think it's easy for me. It's Matt Landers and Terry Hampton, and we, you know, got to talk to Terry Hampton on Monday night. And that's a guy that's battled a lot of injury adversity in his football career. I think he said he played like a year and a half of high school at El Dorado. And, if not for those injuries, he feels like his trajectory would have been, you know, to one of these SEC programs that he's at now. And, you know, he went to Arkansas State. He was grateful for the opportunity that they gave him. And when he was in the transfer portal after he tore his ACL in October, you know, he was getting some interest from some maybe mid-major type programs, like maybe not teams that are brands. And then Arkansas came calling, and he said it was just an absolute no-brainer for him to join over here. And he got cleared, I think it was like in late May. So his camp was communicating with Arkansas that he was going to be, you know, not a liability on the injury front when he got here and was going to be able to contribute right away. And it sounds like he is. Like he's, you know, outside of Isaiah Nichols and Eric Gregory, I think he's your next defensive tackle that you feel super comfortable with. And I think he's one of the more buzzier names just because he's at a position where people feel like Arkansas needs more depth, and he's providing it and standing out to Sam Pittman. And anytime I think a lineman on either side of the ball stands out to Sam, that's noteworthy. And he's one of the strongest guys on the team. And they, Terry and Bo Limmer were at the podium last night, and both of those guys were just talking about the weight that they're throwing up, and it's just, it's absurd. Like Terry said here that he's put up about 450 pounds on the bench. He favors bench over any other anything else in the weight room, and Bo's about the same way. He's at like 500 pounds, which is just, that's absolutely absurd to me. But I think for all those reasons, he's definitely a buzzy name, and Matt Landers too, just because, again, receiver was a position where people had a lot of question marks, but he's, by all accounts, he's provided a lot of stability in that room.
Yeah, I completely agree with those two being the two buzziest. If we were to do this in the spring, a guy that I think I would have brought up would be Torian Carter, just because he was having such an outstanding offseason. But obviously, his injury is going to be a huge loss for that defensive line. And if I had to name a third outside of those two, I would probably go with Isaiah Cetania. I think he's been brought up quite a few times by the coaching staff and players that we've talked to, just because of his, you know, Olympian speed that he's got, world-class jets. And for a freshman, I think he's going to play a lot because he can play wide receiver and he can also help in the return game, which is something I think that Arkansas can use.
I think Cetania is going to make it into the return game in some form or fashion. Could be that he's out there on the field for kickoffs and punt returns. I think he's going to get onto the field, you know, with the offense too. I think they're going to find wrinkles to get him involved. They like what they've seen from him way too much for him not to see the field on offense in some capacity. It may not be that he's out there for 10 plays a game, but I think they're going to find ways to get him involved offensively.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. I've been impressed with, like I've said before, like his burst off the ball. And, you know, that's kind of difficult to judge, obviously, because when he's catching passes on air, there's no defender in front of him. So we don't really have, you know, a whole lot of a sample to look at to see how he is, you know, getting, you know, through contact from, you know, physical corners or physical nickels or safeties. But I think, you know, he's a name that Sam brings up all the time. Like he says, he, you know, they hit on all three of those freshman receivers. And I think Cetania is obviously in a really good spot. I think maybe an under the radar buzzy name has been Quincy McAdoo. Like he's in that freshman group too. And Sam said over the weekend that McAdoo's in a position to travel. He's on special teams, going to help them in some way. He's been pretty impressive in like the one-on-ones. And it seems like, you know, especially after the second scrimmage, you know, it, like every time that there's an opportunity for him to make plays, like on a, you know, on a semi-big platform this preseason, he's done it. And I think that's one of the surefire ways, man, to get on that travel roster is make a play whenever you get an opportunity. He's been really impressive, and he's a guy that I really liked in the spring too, just the way that he ran, super fluid, good hands, and he's long and he's really athletic. He can go up and turn 50-50 balls into an advantage for the offense.
I think I heard him say this right, Scotty. They're looking at some of these receivers like Cetania as gunners on their punt coverage.
Yeah, I think that's a really smart thing to do. And another benefit of like being a faster team overall. Because I think last season or the year before last, Arkansas really depended on a guy like TJ Hammonds, who had really good speed, just couldn't make it work for whatever reason on the offensive side of the ball. But they really trusted him. Like, just get downfield as fast as you can. They've got more guys that can do that. And I think Cetania is an option there. Maybe McAdoo too. So I think there's, if those freshman receivers maybe fall into that, you know, 6 through 8 line in terms of your receiver depth, I think there's a chance for them to obviously see snaps at receiver, but I think their greatest impact potentially early on could be special teams. And that's, you know, that's a way that you increase value through the eyes of all the coaches.
Another player with a lot of buzz this preseason has been Jaden Hazelwood. Sam Pittman, you know, basically said that in the spring, he didn't quite live up to what they thought they were getting from him. But, you know, after the off season, he came back. I think he joked after the first day of practice that he thought he made more catches in that one practice than he had in all of the spring drills. Hazelwood is one who they think is going to be a major contributor for them as a receiver this season.
Yeah, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think he wore a green non-contact jersey for a little bit in the spring.
He did.
So I think he was a little banged up, and that might have played a part in maybe his I guess, slow transition from Oklahoma to Arkansas, but he's definitely picked it up in here in the last couple of weeks, and especially in camp. And he definitely has the billing and the potential to be a number one wide receiver for them.
Yeah, he's probably made the catch of the camp too. Like, he made, like, the catch that he made, media members were leaving the practice field when it happened. We weren't even technically supposed to see it, but I turned around because I knew some action was going on, and I just wanted to see it. Whether it was an incompletion or a touchdown catch, it's like he, like Hazelwood made, I just wanted to watch it. Cause that's a part of practice, you know, the one-on-ones with corners and DBs, we don't always get to see that, and it's super entertaining. But yeah, he matched up with Jalen Catalon, reached around him in the end zone, made a one-handed catch. Catalon dapped him up twice. It was just like, it was a hell of a catch. It was just, it was really, really super impressive. And yeah, but to Andrew's point, like he was battling a little bit of a shoulder in the spring. I think he drove it into the ground in one of the, maybe one of the earlier semi-live days, I want to say. And he was in green throughout, and hasn't worn a green top once this fall. And I think he's just been much, much, much more of the player that I think that they were anticipating that they were going to get. He's, yeah, there's no doubt in my mind that he can be a definite number one and a go-to guy for KJ.
You know, a player, the oldest player for sure, who we're going to talk about, or at least the most experienced within the program, is Trey Knox, tight end. Sam Pittman said that he's always been a willing blocker. He hasn't always been a capable blocker. He's put on weight. I think he's put on something like, gosh, close to 40 pounds over the last 2 years, and put on a significant amount over the offseason after he found that it was tough for him to handle those, you know, defensive ends and linebackers at the tight end position after he made the position change last year. You know, this is one that I think he changes the way Arkansas uses their tight end. They have not had a tight end who has been as reliable of a pass receiver as I think he will be. And from all indications, he's going to hold his own as a blocking tight end and be able to stay on the field, you know, more because of that. It's not going to be a deal where Trey Knox comes in and, you know, they're going to run him out on a pass pattern. They think that they can, you know, he can be a very versatile tight end who may even be able to play that position in the NFL.
Yeah, I remember talking to his high school coach last fall. I was wanting to do one of my Friday features on him, and Trey's high school coach joked with him, you know, like several years ago. He's like, Trey, we think your future, you know, if you want to play in the NFL, is that tight end, just because you've kind of got like this naturally big body. And, you know, foot speed hasn't always been you look at Trey Knox's attributes, I probably wouldn't say foot speed is one of the top two or three. So you've got to find other, you know, assets that you have and maximize those and just get everything that you can out of those things. And, you know, I think his size, he's been using that a lot better. He's always been a walker. And so I think, like, and he's always had really good, strong hands. I think that obviously really helps in blocking too. Just getting your hands in the right position. And, you know, if you get your hands in the right place, you're less likely obviously to get a flag thrown on you. I just think that he's probably, like you alluded to, Matt, he's probably one of the more well-rounded pass catching tight ends that Arkansas has had in several years. And I think another, at least early on, maybe just because we were still trying to learn about all the different guys at the tight end position, I think Tyrus Washington flashed a little bit early in camp. That buzz has died down a little bit, but I did think it was super interesting that Trey was the guy in that position group to kind of take Ty Washington under his wing. And Ty was staying at Trey's house, at least early on in camp. I'm not sure if they're still doing that, but just kind of being a leader too, man. Like that's a really big deal.
Knox told me during the offseason that it felt kind of funny that he was the, you know, quote unquote leader in the tight end room. He's like, I haven't even been in the tight end myself for a year yet. And yet, you know, here he is in that position. Certainly you know, his age has a big amount to do with that, not just his age, but also his personality. On the defensive line, a couple of players who I think have gotten some buzz, who may have not gotten talked about just a whole lot, are Jashad Stewart, the defensive end. And I know I'm going to butcher his last name, I think, but Nico Davillier, is that how you say it, Scotty?
Yeah.
Yep. We'll just call him Nico. You know, the freshman from Maumelle. It's interesting. He and Andrew Chambly both have come in from Maumelle, and I think that they both really impressed the coaches.
Yeah, Nico's different. Like, you look at him, and I remember may have been like the second day or the third day of camp, I was standing next to a member of the communication staff, and Nico was just walking back to the back of the line after he went through a rep, and I leaned over and went to the communication staff guy and was like, that kid does not look like a freshman. Like, he, you know, he's got just stacked arms on the big side for a freshman. Probably needs to drop a little bit of weight, but I mean, you can't deny how physically impressive the kid is. And he's been getting some run with that third team defensive line at a tackle. And, you know, I would have to think that he's made some things happen behind the scenes that, you know, we're obviously not privileged to see, or he wouldn't be in that position. So I think there's a lot of potential in Nico. And Jashad Stewart's just a guy that, and we knew this before this fall camp, but, you know, last year, you know, we heard a lot about Jashad's motor, like anytime we asked about him, and that's just still true. Even in this camp, like, he's Eric Gregory and Zach Williams just went on and on and on just about how he gives every ounce of his being to every snap. And that's, you know, that's pretty rare to find, because guys normally get tired, and you know, coaches will watch film and they'll tally a loaf, and you know, you probably gotta pay for it in some way the next time you hit the practice field. But I don't think Jashad Stewart's that kind of guy.
Yeah, I remember one of the first days that I was out there recording the highlights. Nico was making plays in the fastball starts, and I didn't even know who it was, because I think it was the first day here, second day he reported. I think I asked Scotty, and I was like, who is number zero, after I went back and looked at some of the film that I had. And he was like, oh, it's Nico, however you say his last name. And from that point on, I kind of was cognizant of him on the defensive line, and he was kind of flashing everywhere. And I think that he's going to become a more familiar face for a bunch of Razorback fans this season.
Yeah, he's definitely a presence. And I think another day that he caught my eye, it was earlier or maybe late last week, you're going through fastball start, and you just ask some of those third team offensive linemen, they probably ain't seen a guy like that very often from where they're coming from. He broke through when Cade Fortin was dropping back for a pass. And I think that Cade was so just kind of jarred that Nico was just like right in front of him and broke through the line so quickly that he panicked, and he dumped the ball off right to Dorian Gerald. Like, Dorian Gerald plays defensive end, but he was like so caught up in the moment and kind of stunned that pressure from Nico was right in his face that he just felt like he had to get rid of the ball or something not super positive for him was going to happen. Obviously he can't get hit, but as a quarterback, anytime you see a big D lineman of Nico's size bearing down on you, that's a little bit of a cause for panic anyway. So he's definitely making his presence felt.
One final name, this kind of falls into the Trey Knox category, but it's Luke Jones, the left tackle. Transferred into Arkansas from Notre Dame, played high school football down in Little Rock at Pulaski Academy. They lost Myron Cunningham off the offensive line last year in terms of their starting five. They returned the other four starters. And I think that, you know, from just the vibe that you get, whether it's listening to Sam Pittman or listening to Cody Kennedy or his position mates, the other offensive linemen on the team, is that they think Luke Jones is going to be a very suitable replacement for Myron Cunningham at that left tackle position. And the fact that Jones has practiced so much with those other four starters, assuming that Dalton Wagner wins the right tackle job over Tykes Crawford, there's a cohesion still with that group that I guess is kind of rare when you lose a starter like they did last year with Cunningham.
Yeah, you asked Sam about Luke the other day, I think, and you know, Luke hasn't played just a ton of snaps with the guys that, you know, he's theoretically going to be lined up with in game one. But he's, I think what Sam said was he's played in practice a lot, so he's got a good synergy with those other four guys. He's a player at a really, really valuable position who doesn't stand out for the wrong reasons, really intelligent, good feet. And I think what stands out is, you know, sometimes you hear position coaches talk about battles at certain spots. You haven't heard about that at left tackle. And so I think that's all the indication really that I need. Maybe other people need more, but you know, Luke is the guy there, super confident in him. And I think clearly, like, Cody Kennedy and Sam know what they're doing, and they wouldn't have Luke there if he wasn't the man for the spot.
He probably would have been pushed a little bit by Devin Manuel. Manuel's been out, but you know, I think Jones has pretty well had that left tackle position locked up since the spring. I think they were really impressed with him, what he did during spring ball. So those are just some names that I think are getting buzz this preseason. Again, that's not to discount, you know, what you're seeing from all these other players. KJ Jefferson's having a great camp from all indications. I think what we've seen from Malik Hornsby as a passer has been really good. You know, you think about running back Rocket Sanders, they love what he's giving them on the offensive line. You got four returning starters. Defensive front is a little bit of a question mark. Bumper Pull and Drew Sanders have been pretty much as advertised as linebackers in the secondary. You know who the players are. But these are some guys who maybe we didn't have on our radar so much 3 weeks ago, who now you believe are going to fit into the plan somehow, some as starters, some maybe as starters on special teams units that don't get as much publicity. Some may just be backups who make the travel squad, who might be thrust into the game, you know, at some point when they're not expecting to because of an injury somewhere. But those are about 10 names who have jumped out to us this preseason. We hope you'll go to wholehogsports.com to read all of our Razorback football coverage. On tomorrow's podcast, we'll have a recap of what Sam Pittman had to say at the Hogs Illustrated Sports Club. We're really looking forward to hosting him there tomorrow, and we'll have more insights from Razorback football practice. For Scotty Bordelon and Andrew Joseph, I'm Matt Jones. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time on the Whole Hog Football Podcast.
The proceeding has been a production of WholeHogSports.com. Look for our latest podcasts on Apple, Spotify, or your favorite podcast store. And visit us anytime at WholeHogSports.com for the latest news and commentary.